Chapter 10, Facebook Ads. In this chapter, I'll talk about taking advantage of other people's emotions, how to market products people are embarrassed to admit they use, and how practice makes perfect. As of recording of this book in early 2016, Facebook ads, also known as unpublished page posts, are the single best advertising digital product for entrepreneurs and Fortune 500 companies that I've seen since buying the keyword wine through Google AdWords in 2004. I didn't realize it at first. Facebook has been an evolving ad product for the last few years, starting off slow with ads on the right side of the desktop like any other banner advertising. When I started to see ads in a newsfeed, it made a lot of sense to me. It's huge and in your face when you look at it in the screen of your phone. Still, I didn't have a eureka moment until a few months later, well into 2014. It was only when I looked at the data and the results of the early Facebook ad campaigns that I started getting bullish and recognized that this was going to be a huge game changer. So did a few others, but not everyone. In fact, a lot of people were hysterical in 2014 and 2015 that Facebook would make changes that would compromise its organic reach on fan pages in favor of ads. Journalists, pundits, and execs who had never run a Facebook ad were publishing articles about how all the young people were migrating to Snapchat and Instagram and threatening Facebook's domination. People were so angry and emotional that they resisted exploring Facebook's capabilities and trying out the new ad product. But I and other real practitioners, the kind of people who spend lots of time in the dirt, recognized that this emotional narrative was creating an outstanding arbitrage opportunity, and we jumped to take advantage of it. The more people bashed Facebook and swore its effectiveness was on the decline, the fewer people were trying out the new ad platform. And since Facebook is a supply and demand marketplace, the price only goes up when advertisers bid for the audience, just like Google AdWords. There was therefore an incredible golden era in 2014 and 2015, where the intrepid marketers who weren't wasting their breath complaining and were willing to experiment could get tremendous reach to the exact people they wanted with a bunch of different creative and see tangible results. That, my friends, reflects the difference between how practitioners and headline readers operate. We've never had an ad product with incredible accuracy, one that could target age, sex, occupation, and on top of that, behaviors and interests. By partnering up with data mining companies, Facebook can now tell us not only the demographics of its users, but their buying histories, both online and off. You can literally target one ad to 19-year-old men with facial hair who live in Phoenix and drink Red Bull, and send another one to 23-year-old women in Detroit who wear contact lenses and play golf. I'm a 40-year-old male who lives in Manhattan and loves the New York Jets and root beer. Imagine what a phenomenally cost-effective transaction you can instigate if you hit my emotional center by putting in my line of vision a root beer with a green football. The only challenge is figuring out the psychology of your audience and determining what story will most likely compel them to make a purchase. If you learn to interpret the available data correctly and deploy it with creative calls to action against the right demo at the right time on the right platform, you're golden. Theoretically, Facebook ads allow you to create a unique, native, relevant ad to every user on Facebook. I'm convinced this period will be heralded as one of the great eras of advertising, alongside early TV advertising, early direct mail advertising, and early Google AdWords. By the time you listen to this, people will be flooding to this product. It's possible that Facebook ads will no longer be as effective as they once were now that more people have caught on to their extraordinary capabilities. Slowly, the supply and demand will force the ads to a more appropriate price. I'll still be bullish about it, and I believe it will be a monster platform in 2016, 2017, and beyond, even becoming the bedrock of people's advertising plans. As always, even in the most saturated market, there's an ROI in putting out your content on anything that consumers are paying attention to, so long as you know how to execute, preferably better than anyone else.
Hi there, this is Dana Anderson. I am the CMO for Mondelez International, And I'm so excited to be reading some of these questions in the Ask Gary Vee book. Thanks for having me. What's the best way to use Facebook ads and the right price to pay?
Dana is an incredible marketer with an illustrious career, so I'm very honored to have you, Dana, and a great customer of VaynerMedia's Mondelez, so thank you so, so, so much. The best way to use Facebook ads at the right price is to reverse engineer backwards if it's creating the ROI that you're looking for. Meaning, if you're willing to pay $17 to get somebody to buy a case of wine because you make $18 in profit, well, then the right price is $17 and, you know, 99 cents. Or, if you think about the world the way I do, the right price might be $23.18 because I'm okay because that's worth it for me, for them to buy for me, and they'll make money on their second transaction. So like any other platform, the right price is predicated on the results. But remember, the creative is the variable of success. So you might be paying the right price, $12 CPM, which means you're reaching 1,000 people for 12 bucks, but your creative stinks. So you gotta not only test the groups that you're targeting, but you've gotta test the creative that you're making to see them line up to create that business outcome.
What's the best way to use Facebook ads to grow audiences on other platforms?
At the time on the show, I actually said you shouldn't, but I'm going to tweak this a little bit. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'm doing it right now on Instagram. I'm going to try a little bit on Snapchat. You know, at the end of the day, if you can convert, again, it's no different than the last question, you're going to pay more. You're going to pay more for the friction of them leaving Facebook to go to Snapchat to follow you or to go to Twitter and follow you. So, as long as you understand that you're probably usually better off spending advertising money on the platform to get people to follow you on that platform, aka running Instagram ads to follow you on Instagram versus running Facebook ads to get to follow you on Instagram, then you understand where I'm coming from. However, if you deem that Facebook's targeting capabilities, so let me explain. If I want, and you know what? I may do this now after this book. This book's inspiring me. If I want to target 18 to 25 year olds on Facebook that are fans of Shark Tank, which, you know, I know that there's not that many 18 to 25 year olds paying attention, but way more than anybody else thinks. There's millions that are doing it. They're just not checking it every 3 minutes. And I want to build up my Snapchat. If I'm willing to pay $18 a user for Snapchat because I've decided that, well, then I can run it on Facebook. So the punchline is this. It would be expensive to use Facebook to build up audience at other places, but believe it or not, it just might be valuable for some of you.
Which marketing vehicles are best to grow startups you've invested in?
To me, this is a Facebook, Google AdWords world. It's very quant-driven. You can see the results. I think that there's been some startups, if you look at Dollar Shave Club, which is a company that I did not invest in, but made a remarkable video that YouTube helped explode. But no question, if you look at the current startups, Facebook, Google AdWords, some in-ad advertising within apps, if it's an app itself, so some of the Apple iAds or things of that nature, Flurry, things of that nature. So there's a lot of different things depending on the startup, but for me, it's a Facebook, Google world.
As a rookie, how much should I allocate to Facebook ads for a Teespring campaign?
Well, I think Facebook for t-shirts is just incredible. And I think that with Teespring, at the time I created a narrative on my show where I said, look, if you're going to make an original t-shirt that says Denver truck drivers rule, and then you target men that live in Denver whose occupation is working for a trucking company, you've got a really good shot of selling some t-shirts. So again, if you want to say, you know, men from Alabama love fishing, and then you literally target men from Alabama who have interest in fishing, you're going to sell some t-shirts. So I'm a very big fan, and you can do it for 20 bucks. If you see that you sold 3 shirts and you're like, oh my God, that really works, then you pour more, you know, fluid on the fire. So I would say there is no minimum allocation. I would say for practical terms, spend $100. Spend $100, create your target, put your creative, and see what happens.
How should marketers engage with an audience that is generally reluctant to talk publicly about the needs we can fill? For example, hair replacement products.
I think there's some assumptions being made here. For example, Rogaine has, at the time when I did the show, 36,000 followers on Facebook, and I would have thought it would be zero. I get where that person's coming from, and depends at the time. I mean, this is like adult Pampers, guys. 26,000 people willing to like it to get coupons or talk about or create a community. So people are becoming more open. That's number one. So don't make any assumptions on how the industry has been. The new generation is much more comfortable in their skin. We're living open lives more. Now, I don't think Rogaine's going to have 3.6 million followers. And there's probably 15 million, 100 million people that want to use it. So I get that. So let's think about it a secondary way. A secondary way is, what's the chess move to get to that person? You know, doctors, WebMD, Dr. Oz. You see where I'm going kind of there? Sports therapists. There's just a million ways to get their hairdressers, you know. So who's in industries that are peddling these products? Because I know what you're alluding to, and I think we all do, which is these products that are more private usually have experts in between. You can market against those experts' fan pages or interests, and that's how you can reach the audience you're looking for. Real quick though, as much as I love Facebook, I will say this. I think that Google AdWords is an incredible platform for those kind of things, because people are searching that kind of stuff in the privacy of their home.
Is it worth paying for a course to learn all about Facebook ads, or is it all right to rely on the free info on YouTube? Are Facebook ads really that complicated?
Facebook ads are quite simple. The product's quite simple for anybody that uses the internet. And so the Facebook data and information and learning courses that are available for free on YouTube are 100% the way to go. You don't need to pay a Facebook expert to teach you how to do Facebook for $500 courses. What you need to be is a practitioner. What you need to do is practice. You don't need to pay somebody to teach you how to hit a baseball, right? You can absolutely watch that online for free, but you have to go out and swing the bat 50,000 times. Do you have that kind of discipline? Too many people, and very honestly, and this is going to hurt for me to say, too many people that listen to me spend $300 to make themselves feel better because they've learned how to use Snapchat and then do nothing about it. And so it's not about paying to learn, it's about having the discipline and the energy to execute.